3 is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, February 13th, 2017, starting a brand new week. And, of course, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And if you've not made adequate preparations for your significant other, or others, as the case may be tomorrow, then you only have a few hours left to take care of that. Now then, again, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. I want to start off today talking about the situation at the Oroville Dam, because it was amazing when that main spillway began to fall apart. Everybody said, oh, no problem, no problem, no problem. Then they made a big deal about getting the fish out of the way. And it's okay, everybody can relax. And then all of a sudden, at the point where they thought a collapse was only an hour away, they finally ordered the evacuations, and they've evacuated almost 200,000 people, setting up all these centers in neighboring cities and high ground to get these people to. And at the moment, the water level in the reservoir, Lake Oroville, has declined to the point where no more water is going over that emergency spillway. And so everybody's taking a little bit of a sigh of relief, but we're not out of the woods yet, because starting on Wednesday, there's another major rainstorm moving into the area and could drive it up. The big problem here is, of course, the main spillway continues to destroy itself, and the emergency spillway, which nobody thought they were ever going to use until it happened, apparently the force of water was great enough where it was just eroding away the whole hillside, including the supports for the spillway itself, and they discovered a huge gouge, and they're concerned now about the emergency spillway collapsing, which would unleash huge amounts of water running on downstream. And during this break in the weather, they're actually using helicopters to try and fill up this gouge with very large boulders, which hopefully will stabilize it. But nobody's really sure, because some of the videos of the water rushing down the hill show very large boulders being just tumbled along. There's a huge amount of water there. So it is a serious situation. They're supposed to have a press conference here very, very soon. Union Pacific has now halted all train service through the areas below the Oroville Dam. So everybody is having to pull on off. And if this thing were to really cut loose, it's not just Oroville that's at risk. A lot of Southern California draw their drinking water, bathing water, cooking water from the Feather River, which is where the water from the spillways at the Oroville Dam comes on out. And it's already just contaminated. They stirred up the soil and the silt. That's why they had to get the fish out of the fishery. And the water could wind up almost unusable. So this is a very, very, very serious situation. Now, already the finger-pointing and CYA is underway, because apparently 12 years ago, experts were pointing out that that emergency spillway, which was made of earth, not concrete, was at risk of a collapse. And so now everybody's saying, oh, no, this was ridiculous, and we're not to blame for anything that's going on. And Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency, not just for the Oroville Dam, but all the other damage caused by the raging floodwaters. They've had entire highways washed on out, trains derailed and everything. And now he's asking President Donald Trump for help from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. In other words, bring in money. And what a shame that the state of California spent all the California's taxpayers' monies on free stuff for the illegal immigrants instead of making sure the infrastructure was being properly maintained. And I guess now that Governor Brown has his hand out to Washington, D.C., all that talk about California seceding from the United States, I guess, is on hold for the foreseeable future. Let's grab a phone call here. Bob in Las Vegas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike. You know, I wanted to go back to what you were, something you said last week about Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. I think you paid a compliment to Maxine Waters by calling, saying that she was suffering from dementia. I mean, this woman is not suffering from dementia. She's just plain stupid. She doesn't know the difference between Crimea and Korea. So don't, by calling her, by saying she's suffering from dementia, you're paying her a very nice compliment.
Well, and then I take it all back.
Okay. Mike, on the petrodollar, I'm a little confused. I mean, there's this talk about Iran, the threat that they've made, I think March 21st, they're not going to sell their oil for dollars. And yet, the U.S., and the U.S. is worried about that. Why then would the U.S. pass this law, and Obama signed it, regarding Saudi Arabia and 9/11? That, doesn't that directly threaten the petrodollar?
It really does, and the Saudi Arabia situation, Saudi Arabia has been a very loyal supporter of the U.S. government. The Saudi royal family and the Bush family are very, very good friends. But as you know, Israel is still trying to deflect suspicion away from Israel regarding 9/11. And so they're out there blaming it's this person, it's that person. And you remember when 9/11 happened, one of the first people they tried to frame was Saudi Arabia. And it kind of fell apart. Most of the accused hijackers were Saudis, but there's no evidence right. They were actually on the planes. Some of them turned up alive after 9/11 was over. One of them is actually a pilot for the Saudi National Airlines who sued the United States for defamation and won. Not really reported in American corporate media there. But Israel's agenda here is to find a way to sever that relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Because Saudi Arabia, by virtue of the petrodollar deal, is pouring money into the U.S. for investment. And with that kind of volume of money coming in for investment comes a great deal of political influence. Israel's trouble is it's doing nothing but sucking money out of the United States of America and still trying to remain politically in control of the government. And with that kind of a situation, Israel is feeling its control over the United States is directly threatened by Saudi Arabia's investment. And so this right. appears to be part of a plan to drive a wedge between Saudi Arabia and the United States and is perfectly consistent with the way Israel has behaved throughout the decades. Every time I hear somebody say that Israel is America's only friend in the Middle East, I think back to the fact that before Israel, we didn't have any enemies in the Middle East. But look at how Israel's constantly trying to divide, drive a wedge between the United States and anybody else in the area. They were cheering on the war in Iraq. Now they're cheering on the war in Iran. The attack on the USS Liberty was intended to trick the United States into seeing Egypt as an enemy. And possibly even declare war on them. And there was an armed strike in the air on the way to Cairo when the deception was finally exposed. So that's Israel's agenda. They don't want Saudi Arabia and the United States to be friends. And if in the process Saudi Arabia's ruling family is overthrown and replaced with puppet rulers, nobody would be more pleased about that than Israel.
Okay, but even if that threatens the status, the strength of the dollar, the U.S. would be willing to do that, to do Israel's bidding, even putting the dollar at risk?
If Israel can convince enough people in the U.S. government that Saudi Arabia did 9/11, then yes, it could very well happen, because very few people in Washington, D.C. are thinking outside their immediate agenda and what their supporters want. Hardly anybody is trying to maintain that overview, which is supposed to be Trump's job, by the way. Yeah. And the issue is, if Saudi Arabia were framed for 9/11, then the United States could simply confiscate all of Saudi Arabia's wealth currently parked in the United States. But again, we know this whole situation about Saudi Arabia being responsible for 9/11 is utter nonsense. Look for what should be there and isn't. And what is not there is a motive for Saudi Arabia to carry out 9/11. they have done very well in their friendship with the United States of America. They've profited handsomely off the petrodollar deal. They're profiting handsomely off of their investments inside the United States. They're not going to want to mess with that. And if by some chance Saudi Arabia wanted to harm the United States of America, they don't need to crash airplanes into skyscrapers to do it. All they have to do is start asking for their money back every time one of these contracts comes due, refuse to roll it over, demand the repatriation of their wealth to Saudi Arabia, and the U.S. economy would crumble. So framing Saudi Arabia for 9/11 would give the U.S. government the excuse to freeze all of Saudi assets inside the United States and basically steal them, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Oh, finally, Mike. Oh, it was good to see Claire in the executive chair on Friday. She was once again spoke about Yemen. But what is this Yemen? I mean, you said you talk about wars of resources. Yemen is resource poor. It's the poorest country in the Middle East. What's the war all about? Is it just a flex of muscle by the Sunnis to send Iran a message?
What the war is about, it's part of a continuing pattern of overthrowing the legitimate government of every nation in the Middle East and replacing them with an obedient U.S. puppet ruler. And that happened in Yemen some years ago, and the people of Yemen said, we don't really like this idea. So they have kicked their puppet rulers out and are trying to reclaim their country. And that's why every time you hear about the government of Yemen, you will hear a phrase in front of it, the internationally approved government of Yemen, is the puppet rulers. And there actually is no foundation in international law that allows other countries to decide what government will be in a particular nation or not. It's just a complete made-up fairy tale, puffy piece of propaganda that they're putting on out there. But what's happening in Yemen is the same thing that's happening in Libya. It is a population trying to kick out an imposed puppet junta and regain control of their own nation. And the United States at this point dares not let any of their conquered provinces break free, because that will give all the other conquered provinces bad ideas.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for clearing that up.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to do a quick shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, we're beginning to see a big pushback against these anti-Trump protesters. As we've been seeing with the video coming out of Portland, Oregon, every time the police take him down, everybody's cheering. Everybody's sick and tired of all these whiners and crybabies. And they may have stepped over a line, because up in Washington state, there was a horrendous traffic jam caused by a bunch of these anti-Trump protesters. And where it really got ugly was where this Interstate 5 was going around a tight curve. People coming up on the curve couldn't see that traffic had stopped on the far side of the curve, resulted in a big truck rollover, victim hospitalized, injured. And I it's like I said before, for a color revolution to work, they have to have the public's sympathy and support of the general population. And they're not getting it. Everything they do just makes them look worse and worse in the eyes of the general population. This attempt at a color revolution in the United States is going to fail exactly the same way as Iran 2009 fell apart. Now, this point, and I don't know why this is still around. Before I get into this, I'm just looking at the Fox News feed, and basically the senior advisor to President Trump is out there saying there are, in fact, massive numbers of non-citizens registered to vote in the U.S. I wanted to get that on out there, because the corporate media is still out there trying to say, oh, there's no election fraud. The election was honest. Hillary won the popular vote. She should be empress, blah, 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 blah. Now, the other thing the corporate media is still trying to make a big deal about is that Donald Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, met with Russia's ambassador to the United States before Trump was actually sworn in as president. And they're out there trying to claim that, first of all, they discussed the lifting of sanctions and that it would be technically illegal under the Logan Act at that point. But it really hinges on, they could talk about the sanctions as long as no deal was made. If a deal was made, then it's a violation of the Logan Act. But First Amendment, they're allowed to talk about anything they want. Now, both Flynn and Russia's ambassador to the United States are saying there was no talk about the sanctions whatsoever. But this is being pushed on out there to try and attack Michael Flynn and force him to come on down. And what's really interesting is these stories about Flynn and the ambassador violating the Logan Act emerged from the Washington Compost and the New York Slimes, which means at this point, there's probably nothing to back it up. But the Trump administration and the government of Russia are saying it did not happen at all. Now, apparently over at the National Security Council, staffers are trying to retroactively purge their social media of any posts critical of the president. They are concerned about reprisals. I think it puts a poor face on the government when the people who are in those offices are dissing the president. But at the same time, if it's social media on their own time, the First Amendment protection of freedom of speech does apply. But it is tacky to be doing that here. Now, the other week we were talking about rumors of a coming major shakeup within the White House itself, and possibly including that chief of staff. Because apparently Donald Trump is very unhappy at how many neocons and how many war hawks are somehow managing to infiltrate, worm their way into the White House staff. And we're seeing yet another confirmation today from governmentslaves.info that Reince Priebus may be on his way out as chief of staff. And that is a very, very powerful position. I think Trump picked him for that position in order to cement relations or repair relations with the GOP for the 2020 election. But Priebus is apparently making the same mistake that Chris Christie did, which is to welcome in the old guard as much as possible in order to hijack and control the Trump administration. And apparently Trump has now picked up on that. A new poll has come on out confirming that the American people find Donald Trump much more trustworthy than the corporate media. And more people are bypassing the corporate media spin. They're going directly to Trump's Twitter feeds. They're going directly to Trump's YouTube channel. They want to get the word from the president's mouth because they know once it gets into the corporate media, anything could happen at all. And that is being illustrated by a Wall Street Journal opinion piece on Maurice Greenberg, the former chairman and CEO of AIG. And they're out there saying that last Friday's settlement with New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman represented a vindication that Maurice Greenberg hadn't really done anything, which is not at all what it means. And the Wall Street Journal apparently has a bad case of brain fog. They're trying to rehabilitate the reputation of Greenberg. And if you read the actual statements coming out of the New York state attorney, his office, it's very obvious. It's not a vindication or an exoneration of anybody. They're saying these crimes were committed. This is the agreed upon settlement going on. All right, let's turn our attention to the war zones. Boy, there, Fox is spending a lot of time on vote fraud. And, you know, the deniers are out there. Oh, there's no such thing as election fraud. But we need an open, transparent election system. And that's going to be one of my major focuses going into the future. Now, over in Syria, Al-Qaeda is trying to attack Daraa. Syrian government forces have prevailed on ISIS near Al-Bab. So it's still going on back and forth. But at this point, it's only a matter of time. Very clearly, the U.S.-backed terrorists are on the run here. Now, as you know, last week we had an updated version of Assad is gassing his own people, Saddam has nuclear weapons, Gaddafi is tap dancing barefoot on shag carpeting, and he's abusing his camels or whatever else they're going to say, where Amnesty International came out with this report claiming to confirm or corroborate claims that there was a secret prison in Syria where 13,000 people had been tortured and executed. And it is a load of nonsense. It's clearly written to be provocative and cause trouble and provoke a war. And you need to remember, Amnesty International also corroborated that story about how Iraqi soldiers were stealing incubators from Kuwait and leaving the babies to die on the cold floor. And we know that one was a complete fabrication. We'll be right back.
you, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. NaturesYouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to NaturesYouth.com. That's NaturesYouth.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about Amnesty International coming out with this report that was reported in the American corporate media. And even the corporate media weren't happy with it. In Amnesty International, they put 13,000 was the upper limit of people they thought had been tortured and executed. The lower limit was 5,000, and the corporate media said at least 13,000. So they're even trying to inflate the numbers there. And as I said before, Amnesty International also came out with a report where they claimed to corroborate that story that Iraq soldiers were stealing incubators from Kuwait and leaving the babies to die on the cold floor. And that was an absolute complete fraud. It was a piece of propaganda crafted by Hill and Knowlton Public Relations. The young lady who claimed to be a nurse was actually the daughter of the Kuwait ambassador. The whole thing was a fake, and Amnesty International put their imprimatur on it. Now, Russia is saying that Amnesty International did this, making claims of fake atrocities, trying to derail the Syrian peace talks. Because the United States does not want the peace talks to move forward because it's not going to result in the Syria they want, which is Assad is out and their puppet ruler is in. And also, if they could get traction on this nonsensical report, it would justify sending boots on the ground into Syria, which is something else the United States would like to do. Now, as I mentioned before, there are indications that this conflict in Syria is all but over, and a really strong indicator of that is the Syrian government has announced they're ready to talk about prisoner swaps with the rebels, which is something you generally start doing when you're near the end of a conflict. So now then, I am really sorry to see this happening, but apparently on Russia has released some drone footage showing the current state of some ancient preserved, well, they're not preserved anymore, ancient sites in Palmyra, in particular a Roman theater called a proscenium and a tetrapylon. Now, these date back to 270 A.D., and they have just been destroyed. And you kind of wonder why ISIS would waste the explosives to do that. But then you need to remember, from Israel's point of view, there's a reason they want antiquities in other countries destroyed. Because in Israel, there's virtually nothing to back up their ancient story of origin. There's nothing about nothing archaeological that supports the kingdoms of David and Solomon, or even the first temple. The few artifacts that have been put out there have been revealed to be fakes, such as the temple staff pomegranate and the Jehoash tablet. You go into any other country on that part of Earth, you can't take three steps without tripping over hard archaeological evidence of their ancient history. I mean, take a look at Egypt, and estimates are they've only basically recovered one-third of what's there to be found. A lot of people are starting to use Google Earth to just scan over vast areas of Egyptian desert, and they're starting to spot things that look like the remains of forgotten cities, temples, and so forth. Israel doesn't have that, and Israel very much would like to level the playing field, as it were. So that people can't say, look, all these other countries have got all this archaeological evidence of their ancient history. Israel, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Interestingly enough, Jean-Claude Juncker, who's the president of the European Commission, has just sent over 600 million euros to the Kiev regime. He's taking the European taxpayers' money and he's sending it to Poroshenko in order to fund further military provocation toward the east. And the Europeans are upset. I would be too. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, on Libya, Mike, people, I just want, if you got new listeners, people need to check out Gaddafi's water project. That was amazing. You know, I mean, the guy lived in a tent. He had free health care for his people, free university for his people, and yeah, he got set up by the British. I think the NATO basically set him up to kill him, to get him out of there so they can use that place as a launching pad into Syria. It's a beachhead. It was a beachhead.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, you know, Gaddafi was doing all these wonderful things for Libya, but what really put him on the top of the special high-interest targets list was shutting down the privately owned central bank and replacing it with a state bank to run the Libyan public currency as a public utility. Then he invented a new value-based currency, the gold dinar, and made it available for trade across Africa. And everybody said, oh, yeah, we'd rather use a currency for trade that isn't accruing interest to some banker somewhere. And if you've ever read All Wars Are Banker Wars, you know that the private central bankers are absolutely dead set against any people or any nation, simply making its own money for internal use. And they will assassinate leaders, have assassinated leaders, started wars to maintain the human population in its servitude and enslavement to private central banking. And it's been going on for 300 years now.
That's another thing, though, you just said. It was the richest country in Africa. It's not in the Middle East. A lot of people just don't know that, you know?
Yes.
But, Mike, on Syria, it's the same thing. Assad's free university.
Yes.
Free health care. Yet, and remember that picture of John Kerry having dinner with him and his wife? John Kerry and his wife and Assad and his wife. But yet, this is how they these people are backstabbers. You know, they don't care about nobody. They just care about their agenda.
Here's the thing. Right now, the world is trending toward serious fascism, and ultimately the New World Order is intended to be a fascistic system. And just like private central bankers can't stand the idea of a country living without a private central bank because it gives the slaves uppity ideas, the same thing holds true for how a society's economy is organized. And any country where the government is using the revenues to take care of their own people is considered a threat to this model of the people exist to make the government rich, and then the government plays the great global game with the money. And that's why they hated Hugo Chavez so much, because he had all this oil revenue coming into Venezuela, and he was spending it on the Venezuelan people. They tried to get Chavez out with a coup d'etat. That lasted about 1 week. And ever since Chavez has been replaced, they've been waging economic war against Venezuela. They can't stand the idea of a free people or a free currency. This whole private central banking system is all about enslaving the people with a psychological sense of debt obligation. And again, you go back and you look at slavery in the antebellum South. Yeah, there were slaves who tried to escape. But for the most part, the slaves were just content right where they were because they had been brainwashed to think this was the way life was supposed to be. The same thing in ancient Rome or in medieval Europe, where the people are being ruled over by people claiming that the gods said, "I am your ruler." And the general population went along with it because they've been brainwashed into thinking this is the way life is supposed to be. And the same thing is taking place now. In public school, we're all being brainwashed to think life under private central banking is the way life is supposed to be. And it isn't. This nation started with a completely different system, one that was a threat to those European banking families. And they were trying to tear it down using their agent in place, Alexander Hamilton. When Lincoln came out with his greenbacks to fund the Civil War, Europe actually considered invading the United States on behalf of the Confederacy. And it was all over that piece of ink and paper.
That's why I think they killed Lincoln for, and also JFK. Well, JFK was a couple of reasons, but I think that money and power is more important than anything else.
That's always it. Now, back in Lincoln's day, people were assassinated for much simpler reasons, but in a more sophisticated society, I think in the modern age, never think there is a single cause for a war or a single cause for an assassination. What it is when you get a group of diverse interests who see their particular interests best served by the same act going forward. That is your conspiracy to start a war or to assassinate somebody.
And remember, Rothschild, I care not who makes the law as long as I control the currency.
Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes the laws. That was Rothschild's quote.
And that's to this day exact. And Mike, you're right on the fascist Marxists, because they can't take any disagreement against them. We were looking at fascism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, in real time right now. People don't want to believe it or not.
Okay, Dustin. Okay. Fascism and Marxism are two opposite ends of the economic spectrum. And let me go over these definitions one more time here. Capitalism is a system in which if you make money, you get to keep it. If you lose money, you are responsible for that debt. because freedom means not only the freedom to succeed, but the freedom to fail and the responsibility to accept either outcome. Now, under socialism, communism, Marxism, whichever you want to call it, if you make money, it is taxed away to serve society. If you lose money, society is taxed to cover the losses so you can pick up and start again. Now, under fascism, if you make money, you get to keep it. And only if you lose money is society taxed to cover the losses. And we have been seeing that manifesting in the United States going way back. It was certainly very obvious following the collapse of the mortgage-backed security fraud in 2008, where the government's answer to all of this was take trillions of dollars away from the American people and give it to the bankers so the bankers could loan it back to the American people at interest. And it was a great deal for the bankers and lousy for the American people. And it didn't really fix anything, because those financial manipulators just kept on playing the same games. Now we're looking at bubbles in subprime car loans, student loans. As long as they're allowed to get rich quick off of these schemes and then dump the losses on the general population, they're going to keep on doing it. There's no reason for them to stop.
Hey, Mike, one more question. I'll take your answer off the air. Can you just go over again what was the thing in the 70s with John McCain? And was it the savings and loan, I believe?
That was the Keating scandal. That was the Keating scandal and the Keating Five, of which John McCain was one, and so was, unfortunately, John Glenn. And this was one of the best-known examples of this whole savings and loan meltdown that was caused by deregulation of the industry. And some of it was intentionally done because if you go back to Arkansas in the 1980s, they were using the SNL rescue program as a money grower for the CIA's gun and drug running operation down to Nicaragua. And the way it would work is the people who were selling all this tons of cocaine that were being brought into the United States of America would take that cash, blend it with cash from legitimately owned cash-based businesses, convenience stores, movie theaters, things like that, and they would go to the SNLs and they would deposit the money in numbered brokered accounts that were below the insurance limit. And one of the things George Herbert Walker Bush had done was raise that maximum insurance on savings accounts from $10,000 to $100,000. That's what made this thing much easier to do. Then some of the other operators in the scam would buy a piece of worthless land and flip it back and forth to make it look like it was more valuable than it was, or they would use a compromised bank examiner to say this land is worth X number of dollars as collateral. And then they would borrow back from the SNL the money that had been deposited in there from the drug sales, and it could be sent anywhere in the world free and clear for the laundry. Well, then the SNL gets into trouble. The shell company that borrowed the money out disappears. The loan defaults. The SNL goes to the piece of land as collateral, realizes it's utterly worthless, and the SNL collapses. And here's where it gets really good, because the Resolution Trust Corporation came into all these SNLs that were failing with a checkbook full of U.S. taxpayer dollars and refunded the money to the original depositors, who were the people who'd played this scam. And so less legal fees and various other costs. This could not only launder all of your drug money, but would make it grow by 1 2/3. And all inside the United States at zero risk to the criminals and all on the backs of the U.S. taxpayer. And that's
all right,
how
thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now then, getting on back to the war zones, North Korea has revealed pictures of a new missile they're putting into development. Up until now, North Korea's missiles have all been liquid fueled, which means it takes a long while to set them up, get them ready to fly, and that, of course, represents a window of vulnerability during which the missiles can be spotted by satellites or surveillance aircraft. This new one is solid fuel, which means they can basically pop it out of the can and get it into flight much more quickly. And, of course, the United States and Japan are demanding the United Nations take action over this newest, possibly nuclear-capable missile. And here's the part that is really annoying. The attitude that we're seeing from within the United States towards North Korea, and for that matter, Iran, is how dare they prepare to fight back against us? Are they allowed to do that? I thought the rules said that they couldn't prepare to defend their country from us. Because look at who's doing all the invading and conquering. It's not North Korea, and it's not Iran. We know who the aggressor is in this run-up to the next world war. And it is, unfortunately, the United States of America. Now, interesting little article came out of Desert Peace saying that it's time for Israel to wake up to the fact that Donald Trump is not their president. Because Donald Trump was not chosen for Israel. He was chosen for the United States. And that certainly is true. Now, obviously, Israel's support of Hillary Clinton was predicated on their expectation that Hillary would basically do whatever Israel wanted without question. Trump is already starting to dig in his heels. Remember what I said? When he starts having to deal with them directly as a government, a lot of his media-induced illusions about Israel and Palestine are going to start falling away. And now we are hearing that U.S. Embassy is going to remain in Tel Aviv. It is not going to move to Jerusalem. Remember, they were bandying that one around. Oh, he's going to move it to Jerusalem. It proves Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And all of a sudden, Trump is saying, no, they're not moving the U.S. embassy. That's staying in Tel Aviv. All righty. Now then, the Pentagon puts out these very nicely formatted reports about airstrikes, which go to Congress for funding considerations, and go to the media, and they present a very clear picture of the strikes. Unfortunately, it turns out that the data is not accurate, and apparently thousands of airstrikes have been left off of this report. And the concern is that these are airstrikes that might impose consist of war crimes, airstrikes that took out innocents. We know how many hospitals they've taken on out. And there's a lot of hiding going on there over at the Pentagon here. Now, another issue they're dealing with, and remember, the Pentagon has lost all of these huge amounts of money without trace. And they're all trying to say, oh, it's just an accounting problem. The money's there somewhere. We're just not really sure. Well, there's a lot of cheating going on. And according to this story over in Anti-War, there's a problem with what are called ghost soldiers in Afghanistan, and they're costing U.S. taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars annually. And basically what it is these Afghan military commanders who are working on behalf of the United States just make up a whole bunch of names and say, these people are serving in my unit, and they just keep the salaries. And there's no oversight. Nobody is doing any checking to see if there are real soldiers out there being paid this money, or if it's just going into the pockets of the commanders. Now, we have been talking about the deplorable state of military hardware. The latest U.S. aircraft carrier, the Gerald R. Ford, they're now grudgingly admitting it may never actually be usable in real combat. Legion of problems with the F-35, F-22, Freedom and Independence class littoral combat ships, the stealth destroyer, the Zumwalt, all of these problems going on. And they're not confined just to the United States, because apparently over in Great Britain, they found a serious crack in the reactor of one of their Trafalgar submarines, the HMS Trenchant. And they're looking at this and saying that this fracture appears to be an irreparable generic fault. In other words, all the other submarines have this problem. And so as of right now, half of the Royal Navy's fast attack submarines have to be kept at the dock. They don't know if the reactors can be repaired or replaced, or if it's just going to be time to scrap these and buy something else here. But for all the money that goes into military procurement, is it not amazing the junk that they're getting for all of that cash here? All right, now let's talk about the entertainment industry a little bit. It's been on display on the BAFTA Awards, the British equivalent of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. The presenters were not pulling any punches. They're bashing Donald Trump, and they're not questioning his policies. It's personal attacks. It's very, very, very shameful. And I'm looking at this article that came out of Armstrong Economics about how the entertainment industry almost seems to be selling the idea that there ought to be a civil war in the United States of America. And they're out there promoting, pushing these riots, the anti-Trump protesters. They're trying to glorify them, romanticize them, lionize them. And I think maybe somebody needs to step back and think very carefully. Do you want a civil war in the streets of the United States of America? Because it could be your street. We'll be right back after these two.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Pardon me. Welcome back to the show here. Now, at the Grammy Awards, Joy Villa made a bit of a stir because after she did what she did in the Grammys, and she was outside in that little press area. She took off her outer coat, and she was wearing this red, white, and blue dress that was emblazoned Make America Great. And it's amazing how Black Lives Matter support you only when you agree with them, because they've gone on the attack. It was a firestorm of criticism all over Twitter, the net result of which is Joy Villa is now one of the top sales over at iTunes. They have inadvertently made this lady very, very rich. And Black Lives Matter, again, getting on back to that idea that you cannot have a successful color revolution if you alienate the general population. Because we're hearing that one of the leaders, in fact, the founder of Black Lives Matter, Yusra Kogali, has publicly said white people are an inferior subhuman race and suffer from genetic defects. Now, have you heard of this on the corporate media? Probably not. But can you imagine some person who's founder or affiliated with a whites group getting on out and saying black people are inferior? What would be the media's response then? Ooh, boy, it would just be, you know, open season. And not only is this discrediting Black Lives Matter to be saying such things, it is further discredits the corporate media for the obvious bias that they're showing in this case. It's okay for the, you know, for people to say discriminate against whites is okay, and you know, but you can't say anything bad about them. Remember the big stink when somebody said we should say all lives matter, and they said, oh no, you're being a racist there to say all lives matter. Really is rather ridiculous here. Now then, Sarah Silverman is out there, and when your whole consciousness is about finding things to scream and whine about, you will very often make mistakes. I remember, I think it was a year and a half ago, somebody screamed about a billboard advertising a tea kettle for sale, because if you squinted your eyes, the tea kettle sort of kind of looked like Adolf Hitler. And remember the big stink over the lawn dwarves who were waving a hand, and they said, oh, no, no, that's the Nazi salute. Well, Sarah Silverman uncorked by saying that she was seeing swastikas spray painted all over the streets near her home. And she went totally ballistic on this whole nonsense. As it turns out, anybody who saw the marks would first of all realize they're not swastikas in the first place. Second of all, they're surveyor's marks. They're utility markings for maintenance of whatever's underneath the cement there. It's ridiculous. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.